Your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Today we are starting a new series, having preached through the book of James. We are starting a series this morning called Devoted to God's Church. And so we're going to look at the church. What is a church? We're going to look at what is a church member? What is a Christian? What is a disciple? What is church worship? And this series is going to run through August 8th, our 35th anniversary, and then on August 8th, we're going to look at what is God's vision for the church? Why has God created the church and its purpose in that? But this morning, we're going to look at what is a church, and the answer to that is the church is family. And so we're going to look at how the church is family this morning, and I'm going to read one verse, and that verse is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, but I will be looking at most of chapter 2, but we will start in Ephesians chapter 2 as our verse to look at that the church is family. And so if you would join me as I read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, and then pray. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Let us pray. Father, as we gather together as your family here at North Stafford Baptist Church this morning, help us to focus this morning on your word as you teach us that the church is family, that you show us how you created us as family through your son Jesus Christ. And Father, as we do so, may we exalt your son Jesus Christ. May we give him all the glory. In his name we pray. Amen. What is our church like? What is a church like? Kathy brings her grandfather to church every Sunday. She takes his arms to help him walk, helps him to sit and stand, and shows him where the church is on the worship guide. One Sunday, her grandfather had fallen in church. How did the church respond? The church helped Kathy care for her grandfather that day. Her example of bringing her grandfather and taking care of him in church had led others in the church to recognize their role in the church. And so now others not only give more attention to grandpa, but to other elderly in the church. Others have stepped up to lend an arm, to a hand, or to show what song is being sung. What was displayed or what is displayed in Kathy's church and among church members? Well, what is displayed is that the church is family. And too often we think of the church as a building, or we think of the church as an organization. And while a church does have a building often, right, and sometimes it doesn't, and it does have organization to it, hopefully it does anyway, if it's following the word of God. The truth is that the church is more like an organism, and that organism is called family. The church is family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the children of God. Scripture proclaims in 1 John 3:1 in the passage that Isaac had read, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are." Yes, indeed, we are the children of God, and that means, therefore, that we are family. Romans 8, verses 15 through 16 says, "But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Praise God. We are the children of God. And what that means is then that we are family. If we are the children of God, it certainly means then that we belong to the family of God. And in fact, this is part of what the letter of Ephesians here, we read chapter 2, verse 19, but other parts in this letter, in the letter of Ephesians, make very clear that we are the children of God. If you turn over to chapter 1 and you look at verse 5, it says there that he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. God has adopted us as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. If you look at chapter 1 again in verse 11, it says, in him we have attained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works out all things according to the counsel of will. And in Christ, we have an inheritance as God's children in that. And in chapter 2, verse 19, the passage I read, the passage for the sermon, that we are members of God's household, the family of God. God has adopted us as his children in Jesus Christ, and he's made us members of his family, the church, and the church universal. Everyone around the world who is a child of God is part of the household of God. But God has placed us in a local church, a local family under the headship of our elder brother, Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose from the dead, overcoming sin and death and taking the wrath of the Father on our behalf. Therefore, if you have received Jesus Christ and you have believed in his name, you have been born of God and you have become one of his children. That's just the fact of what the Bible says. That is the truth, that you are a child of God and you are part of his family. John chapter 1, verses 2 through 13 tell us this. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, has really quickly three implications for us about being a child of God. Three implications that I think are important for you to understand before I move on and look at verse 19. And the first implication is this, from John, the first part of John 1, 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, that the first thing to be a child of God is that you must believe in Jesus Christ. You must receive him and believe, it says, that you must believe in Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. It starts with believing, you know, with becoming a child of God. But the second thing we see there in John chapter 1, verse 12, is he says he gave them the right to become the children of God. The second thing we've seen is that you, when you believe, when you receive Christ, you belong, you become and belong as a member of the family of God. And that's expressed in the local church, a local family of God in that. But thirdly, we find in verse 13, we find this, that you are born into the family of God, not by anything that you have done, but what God has done. And it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Just like naturally you were born, we were born, each one of us, not because of anything we had done, right, but because of our parents and the blessing of God upon them, that we are supernaturally born into the family of God. And it's not because of anything we have done, but it's because of God our Father. It wasn't our will, it wasn't our flesh, it wasn't anything we've done, but it's God who called us and made us his children and put us into the family. So that all Christians, all of us together, are the children of God. And we're part of the universal family of God called the Universal Church, but we are to be a part of a local church or a local family of God. And so the people around us here, the members of our church here at North Stafford Baptist Church, since we're all children of God, that means by implication, that we are family, right? That the church is a family. The church may be universal. There may be the universal church. The universal church then is our extended family, right? We gather with them once in a while. We get together with others, their family. But this is our local family. This is the family we belong to here at North Stafford Baptist Church. And just like a natural family, you didn't choose to be in this family. God chose for you. And we are bound to one another through Jesus Christ. And so to be in Christ is to be in a family, a church family. Because we are the children of God. Now let's turn to Ephesians 2:19. Look again at what he says, because from what Ephesians 2:19 says, then we're going to find what it means that the church is family. And so let me read it again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are members of the household of God. We're members of God's family. As His children, we are members of His family. And you know, when you belong to a family, when you belong to a family, you both have privilege, right? And you have responsibility. That you have privilege. And so as a member of God's family, we have a privilege of being His children, and so it's a privilege. And what that privilege is we have access to the Father. We have access to the Father. That's the privilege of being a child of God. Another privilege of being a child of God is that we were looking at this morning in Sunday school. Because we are His children, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That was just free. That wasn't put in my sermon, but I thought I would throw that in. Because it's such a great truth that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But there's privilege. We have access with the Father. Just like if you were the son or daughter of the President of the United States, guess what? You don't have to go through the Chief of Staff. You don't have to go through the Secret Service. You have access, don't you, based on your relationship. That's our privilege. But also, since we're children of God and members of His family, we have a responsibility. And just like in a natural family, there are responsibilities that come with being part of that family, aren't there? That you know, if you're one of my children, you know that you had responsibilities growing up. You had chores. You had things that you had to do, like clean your room or the dances or help mow, take care of the yard. And so there are just chosen duties and chores and duties, obligations that come, responsibilities that come with being a member of a family. And it's the same for being a member of the family of God. Well, let's look then at what those privileges, those responsibilities, what aspects of what it means to be that the church is family. And so the first thing I want you to notice here from verse 19 is that the church is family because we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Or to put it another way, we are siblings in the family of God. We're siblings in that. We are members together in the household of God. That's what verse 19 says, that we are members of the household of God, that we are brothers and sisters, siblings. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Once we were not. That's what he says there at the beginning of verse 19. He says, so then you are now no longer strangers and aliens. Well, look back with me then at verse 12, where he says there, remember that you were at time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of the promise. You see, at one time, we were strangers and aliens. Once we were not brothers and sisters in Christ, but we were strangers and aliens. We were alienated from God. We were alienated from one another. We were even alienated from ourselves because of sin and death. He says, first of all, there in verse 12, he says that we were separated from Christ. We were separated from Christ. We were unbelievers. We were sons of disobedience. In chapter 2, verse 1 says, 1 through 3, we were children of wrath, that we weren't even thinking about Christ. We had no desire to know Christ, but we were separated from him. But not only that, we were alienated from one another. That's what he says there in verse 12. He says we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. That means we were alienated from one another. That we were alienated from being part of the community. That there was no fellowship. There was no community that we were a part of. That we were on our own, wandering. And so we were alienated from one another. Though we were created in God's image, we just didn't want to know one another and get along with one another. You can look out in the world and see that, right? The difficulty people have getting along. Titus says we hated and were being hated, is how he describes it before we knew Christ in there. And so apart from Christ, we were alienated from one another. We weren't part of the community or household of God. And what a sad thing it is to be alienated from one another. God created us to be in community, right? When you look at creation, he created everything every day and said it's good. But then he came to Adam and said, it's not good for man to be alone, right? And so we were created to be in community. We were created to display the glory of God together in that. And yet here we were alienated one another. And it's a sad thing that alienation goes so deep that it can even separate natural brothers and sisters, right? You've probably seen it. I've seen it. Marcia's dad has a twin brother and they haven't talked for 30 years, right? At least. They are alienated from one another. How sad is that? That this alienation goes so deep that it alienates natural family members. You see, we were once strangers and aliens. And not only that, we were strangers to God and his promises, verse 12 goes on to say. We didn't know God. We were not God's friend. We didn't want to be his friend. We didn't care to know him. We were in rebellion against him. And therefore, we didn't enjoy any of his covenantal promises that he had made, any of his blessings that he had poured out on the community of Israel in that. And so we were strangers to God and strangers to his promise of eternal life in that. And so we were strangers and aliens, not only to Christ, to one another, but also to God and his promises. That's the bad news, but here's the good news. Here's the good news, that though we were strangers and aliens, but now we are fellow members of the family of God. You see, that's what we once were. But now we are together, children of God and fellow members of the household of God. Listen, look back at verse 19. Look at what he says, that we're no longer strangers and aliens. Why? Why are we no longer strangers and aliens? Because God has reconciled us together through the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. He says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off, that's our alienation, right? We were far off from one another. We were far off from Christ. We were far off from God the Father. You who are once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so God has reconciled us not only to himself, but to one another through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's good news, that we're no longer strangers and aliens. Why? Because nothing we've done, we would have stayed that way, right? Mm-hmm. But it's because of what God has done. He took the initiative. He's the one who went the extra mile, Walked an extra mile, a long way, right? He's the one who did what was necessary through Jesus Christ to reconcile us to himself and to one another. And because God has done that, in verse 19, that because we're no longer strangers and aliens, we're now fellow citizens with the saints. We're now together. That's what fellow, right, means. It means together. We're fellow citizens with the saints. And that's a reference to the kingdom of God, that we're now all part of the kingdom of God together in that. That we're fellow citizens of the kingdom of God with the saints who are part of the church and the kingdom of God. Now, I just want to point out, though, that the kingdom of God is not synonymous with the church. The kingdom of God is not synonymous with the church. It certainly incorporates the church, but rather we must think as the church, especially the local church, as an outpost of the kingdom of God, as a lighthouse, of the kingdom of God, or an embassy, to use Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? We are therefore ambassadors for Christ. In that the local church is an embassy in that. And so when he says we're fellow citizens, he's talking about the kingdom of God. We've been brought into the kingdom of God through the blood of Christ in that. But then he goes on and says, he says that we are members of the household of God. And so we are now brothers and sisters in Christ because of what Christ has done through his death, burial, and resurrection, through the spilling of his blood for the forgiveness of our sins in that. And this is this language of being children of God and being brothers and sisters in Christ is found throughout the New Testament in the writings of Paul, isn't it? Let me just give you a few examples about this. Romans 16:1, he's wrapping up his letter to Romans, and he's writing. He mentions a lot of different people, and he mentions Phoebe and says, our sister. No, he's not saying that she's his natural sister, but because of what Christ has done, she's a sister, right? And part of the family of God. 1 Peter 5:12, Peter calls, talking about Silvanus, he calls him a faithful brother. When you think of Paul writing to Timothy, he calls Timothy his son, right? Why is Timothy his son? Besides both being brother and sister, or brothers in Christ, he had a hand in bringing Timothy into the family of God by faithfully preaching the gospel. And so this is language shows us of how important this idea that the church is family. That we understand that we are family members together in the household of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And this isn't, you know, this isn't like symbolic language. Sometimes when we say something symbolic, we act if it has no meaning, right? But the Bible uses this language because it's a reality. It's a truth. That we are truly brothers and sisters in a family that's going to last forever. Well, this family, your family on earth will not. Your natural family won't. But this family will last forever. And so we are. It's important to think that we are brothers and sisters in Christ together in the family of God. Now, if... Here's a truth then. If we are brothers and sisters in Christ who have been reconciled to one another and to God, then if there's fighting and division and alienation in the church family, we are living as if we're still strangers and aliens and not members of the household of God, aren't we? That's why it's so important that we love one another as Christ has loved us, that we forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. That we treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, who has God as our Father and Jesus Christ as our elder brother. Because if we continue to fight and to alienate one another and live as strangers, then what we're saying is that we have not experienced the fact that God has made us his children. Unfortunately, too many churches demonstrate that they're strangers and aliens to the covenant promises of God, and they act like as if they're without God. Now, I've been a member of such a church. I've been a member of a church where members would give the right hand of fellowship to some and refuse the right hand of fellowship to others, based on how they were feeling that day about that person. Where one person wouldn't even go into the sanctuary to hear the preacher preach the Word of God, but would stand outside every Sunday. Or where when meetings were held, they were mostly divisive and contentious. And here, I'm here to say, brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so in the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the household of God. And therefore, we are to live as if we've been reconciled to God, because we have. And we have been reconciled in one body through the cross. And as verse 16 here says, that Christ has torn down the dividing wall of hostility that existed between us. That we are to live as brothers and sisters in Christ. The second implication, the second truth then from this verse in verse 19, is if we are the children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, is then that the church is family, for we all have God as our Father. We all have God as our Father. Verse 18 says it this way. If you look back at verse 18, it says, "For through him, that is Christ, we both have access in one spirit to the Father." And so as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the children of God, that we have access to one God, right? God the Father. Through one Spirit, that we have access to God as our Father. And so we must recognize then that as the church's family, because God the Father all gave us all life through Jesus Christ his Son. That God did it, as John chapter 1 verse 12 said, verse 12 and 13 in that. That God the Father gave us life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Turn back to chapter 1 again and look at verses 3 through 6. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with what he has blessed us in the beloved." And so God here gave us life by adopting us in Jesus Christ. God did it. That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9 tell us even. That it's God who has done it, that it's the gift of God, right? Verses 8 and 9, "For you are saved by faith through grace, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God," that God did it. While we were dead in our sins and trespasses, God made us alive in Christ Jesus in there. And so we see that we all have the same Father, the church's family, for we have God as our Father, that God did it. He's the one who raised us up and gave us life in Jesus Christ. And what is the implication for us then as the church, as a family? The implication is that we did not choose the Father. Rather, the Father chose us to be part of his family. And in doing so, he gave us privilege and responsibility in that family. What that means is, it means, you know, if you're an orphan, you don't get to choose to be part of a family, right? A family comes and chooses you, or uh, and And because the family chooses you and makes you a part of their family, they give you, first of all, privilege, right? They give you access. But then they give you responsibility. There's responsibility in being part of that family. And so it's the same for us as part of having God as our Father. He chose us. He placed us in a family, a local expression of the family of God here at North Stafford Baptist Church. And that, with that comes privilege. We have access to gather together and access to the Father and worship Him. But it comes with responsibility. It means we must live out the Christian life in the midst of one another, the family, here at North Stafford Baptist Church. It means you can't choose as a family member to go live your Christian life somewhere else or by yourself off to, as they used to do in the 4th and 3rd and 4th century, out in the desert by themselves. That's not what Christianity is. It's not to go out and be a monk by yourself, right? But you're called to be a part of family and live out your Christian life among that family. That's why God chose you and put you in this family so that you might display His glory together. And that's one of the responsibilities you have, is to gather together as the family and worship the Father and to display His glory. But the second thing, the church, we have all God as our Father. Because we have God as our Father, we have Jesus Christ as our elder brother. We have Jesus Christ as our elder brother, that He's our elder brother, that He is the one who has reconciled us to the Father. That's why He's our elder brother, that He is the one who came. God sent His Son, right? That Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. And so the rest of us are adopted into the family. Jesus Christ was already part of the family. That's the second person of the Trinity. And so He's our elder brother. He's the one, because of He inheriting everything. We're going to inherit everything along with Him because of our union with Christ. And so the church is family because we have God as our Father and Jesus Christ is our elder brother. Now, and the reason why is because it's Christ who did the reconciling, right? It's Christ who gave His life on the cross. Look at verse 13 through 18 here. But now, Christ, you were once far off, have been brought near the blood of Christ. For He Himself, that is Christ, is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. For through Him, we both have access to the Father. And so it's the Son who has reconciled us to God, our Father, in that. And what is the implication then? The implication is, you must receive and believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, in order to belong to the family. Not anyone can belong to the family of God. Only those who have received and believed in Jesus Christ are part of the family. That's what John 1:12 says. This is what is said here in that you must receive and believe in Jesus Christ, because He is the one who has reconciled us to the Father. He's the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead in that. Now, you know, often you hear people say that we are all children of God, right? Have you heard people say that? That we are all children of God. And that's true in the sense that all people everywhere are children of God, in the sense that He is the Creator. He created everyone. And so in that sense, we are all children of God. But not everyone is His child when it comes to being part of the household of God and worshiping Him. And to do so, you must receive and believe in Jesus Christ. For it is He who died on the cross and rose from the dead for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Now, how did that happen? Look back at verse 18. He says, for through him, Jesus Christ, we have both access in one spirit to the Father. And so so it's the Spirit who gives us life. Verse 13 of 1 John, right, said that not born of the flesh or of will, but of God. How was that done? It was done through the Spirit. We all have God as our Father because his Spirit gives us life. It is the Spirit that has done it. In Romans chapter 8, the passage we looked in Sunday school this morning, and if you turn there just for a moment, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Actually, I'm going to read verses 12 through 17. It says there, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. My point in reading that passage is to show you that the Spirit is the one who does the work, right? The Spirit is the one who has done it. It is the Spirit who gives us life, and it's the Spirit who leads us and guides us. It's the Spirit who allows us to cry out, Abba, Father. And so the implication then for the church as family is that you must be born again through the Spirit to be a child of God in order to be in the family of God. That's how it's done. That it's done through the new birth, right? John 3:3. That you must be born again from above in that. And so we must become part of that, and not only the church universal, but a local church. You must be born again. You must be regenerate in there. And so for implication for us as a church family then is that it's very important we make sure that we don't allow anyone who's not born again to be a member of the family of God. Because the Bible makes clear you must be born again to be a child of God and therefore part of his family. You see, a child without a family is still an orphan. And so we want them to be God to call them and become part of our family in that. Thirdly, the third point from verse 19, not only are we brothers and sisters in Christ, not only are we all have God as our Father, but the church is family, for we are to live under the headship of Jesus Christ. We are to live under the headship of Jesus Christ. Look with me at verses 20 through 22. Yeah, it says, well, back at verse 19, we're members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And so the first thing we see here that we're to live under the headship of Christ because we are called to live under his teaching and his preaching, that we're called to live under the regular preaching and teaching of Christ's word. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And what that means is the teaching of the apostles and prophets. The prophets representing the Old Testament, the apostles representing the New Testament and the teaching of them proclaiming the teaching of Jesus and then eventually being written down in the letters of the New Testament in that. And so we are, as the family of God, as a church family, are to live under the headship of Christ, meaning we are to live under the regular preaching and teaching of Christ's word. That means the Christian life. That means our family life here at North Stafford Baptist Church must be built around the preaching and teaching of the gospel and the Word of God. It must be focused on that. In everything we do, we must preach and teach the Word of Christ. And so that means for you as a member of Christ's household, that you are responsible as a member. This is your responsibility to gather regularly with other members of God's family in the local church to hear the regular preaching and teaching of Christ's Word. And so every week we gather as the family of God to hear God's teaching, to hear Christ's words to us, to submit ourselves to His headship by being obedient to His Word. The second thing, as we live under the headship of Christ that we see here, it says that Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone in whom the whole structure is built, or is being built together, joined together, that Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. And what that means then is that all that we do in our family life here at North Stafford Baptist Church, that Jesus Christ should be the center of everything that we do. That He should be our focus. That our whole structure as a family and everything we do is being joined together, built together in Jesus Christ, to be a dwelling place for God, to grow up in Jesus Christ. And therefore, everything, all of our life, everything we do in the church must be centered and focused on Jesus Christ. What that means then is that our fellowship should be centered on Jesus Christ. Our worship together should be centered on Jesus Christ. Our preaching should be centered on Jesus Christ. Our Bible study should be centered on Jesus Christ. And everything we do should be centered on our elder brother, Jesus Christ. He is our life. He is the one who, through to whom we're being knit together to be a dwelling place for God. He's the one we are to grow in the grace and knowledge, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, not anything else. And so we are to live with Christ as the center of all we do. But lastly, as far as living under the headship of Christ, what we notice here is that we are to live united together by the Spirit of Christ. At the end of there, it says, made into being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And so it's by the Spirit that we live together as the family of God, knit together and united together. It's the Spirit who shapes us and molds us into the image of Christ. It's the Spirit who does the work of sanctification, isn't it? And so we are shaped and molded into the image of our elder brother through the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit that builds community in the family, not ice cream socials. As much as those are fun and great, it's the Spirit that builds community, who binds us together and builds us into one. It's the Spirit that convicts and guides us into all truth, not the preacher, right? It's the Spirit who does that. And so the Spirit guides us as a family into following our Father and Jesus Christ. And as I said, it's the Spirit that unites us. Without the Spirit, we wouldn't be united in Christ. We would still be separated and alienated from one another. It's the Spirit who unites us in there. And therefore, if it's by the Spirit, then the implication is that it's nothing that we do to build church family, but everything that God does. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility. I already talked about that, right? But we understand then that it's Christ that creates the church family, that it's Christ by His Spirit that sustains and nurtures the church family. It's Christ through the Spirit that grows the church family in that. And so we trust in the Spirit to do the work in our responsibility, our job, our obligation then as a family is to gather together. In fact, that's one of the first part of our mission, to gather together to worship Jesus Christ. So that's part of our responsibility. Our responsibility is to grow together, which means we have to be together in the Word of God. We have to be hearing the preaching of the Word and the teaching of the Word in Sunday school or in a home Bible study or together with a couple other members as we study together the Word of God in that it must, we must grow together because it's not just us individually who are being made into the image of God. It's us corporately who are being made into the image of Christ in that. And so we must grow together. But not only that, we must go together as the family of God. That God has not just called us individually to responsibilities, but collectively together to go and make disciples, right? And to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them all that He has commanded. And we do that together in that as Christ is building the family of God in that. And so our job is to gather together and grow together and go together. But it's still the Spirit. It's the Spirit who unites us and grows us and shapes us into the image of Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Now, I started this sermon with the illustration about Kathy and her grandfather. And I want to end by reminding you here that North Stafford Baptist Church is a family. We're a family. And like Kathy's church family, we are called to help one another and to love one another and to support one another, to be there for one another, to maybe take someone's hand and help them along, maybe to show someone a spot in the worship guide. And I want to say as your pastor, I just want to say this, is that I have seen that here at this church. I have seen the members here love one another, to do things for one another without looking for recognition, to do it out of their heart because they want to love on the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And see, that's what the church is. It's a family. That we are called to demonstrate what God has done through Jesus Christ in our lives, not only to one another, but to a watching world. And if we don't, if the only thing we show the watching world is alienation and division and strife, why would they want to come and be part of this family? But if we demonstrate love and forgiveness and service, then they'll want to be a part of that. See, when I was 15, I was alienated from Christ. I was definitely alienated from my family. And I was separated from the covenant promises of God. But God, in His providence, sent a man from a local Baptist church to come and invite me to be a part of their youth group, which eventually led me to go to church on Sunday. And what I saw demonstrated in that church was love for one another. They acted like a family. Now, granted, half of them were related to one another, but the other half, everyone loved one another. And they demonstrated love to me. So after 2 years, I said, I want to be part of that. I said, I want to know God, this God who loves me. But I saw that love, I saw the love of God demonstrated in that church family. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we are here at North Staff Baptist Church. We're a family. Therefore, let us demonstrate, continue to demonstrate the love and forgiveness that God has given us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we are grateful that you have called us to be your children, and that you have placed us right here at North Stafford Baptist Church in this family to love one another, to forgive one another, to serve one another, and Father, to demonstrate to those around us that we have been reconciled to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we just praise you. And Father, help us to continue to do so, to love and to forgive and to serve, not for our own glory, but that we might glorify your Son, that we might glorify you, our Father, and that many, many sons and daughters would be brought to glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.